All right, let's get it going here on the Leaf Edition Hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz pushing all the right buttons for us on a quiet night last night in the National Hockey League. Just one game with the Toronto Maple Leafs on two goals scored by Willie Nylander defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-2. And then 24 hours later, all 32 teams
every
going.
Every team plays.
Including your Toronto Maple Leafs against the Columbus Blue Jackets at 7:30. In about 35, 40 minutes, we'll welcome in Jody Shelley, broadcaster with Fox Sports 1 and also Amazon last night. They covered the game last night. So if you're local in this area and went to regular cable through Sportsnet or TSN, he got feathers. Nothing. You got poker. You got
I don't know what you're talking about. Pokeroo?
I don't know.
Oh, do you,
what did you get on Sportsnet last night?
I think there was some Raw. If WWE you, Raw.
Okay.
Was on, I think.
You got fake wrestling.
Hey.
Right?
Fake to you.
Sammy, did you get any feedback from your buddies about a game? An NHL game with the Leafs being streamed online.
I will say that most people figured it out.
Andy got there?
Yeah, I actually didn't get a text from him. I don't know if he watched or not. Didn't get many takes from him. I don't know if he watched or not, but I'm assuming they watched. They watch every game. So, it was less. I mean, a lot of people praising it. It was nice. Seemed like the crowd was louder on their broadcast. But other than that, felt very much like a hockey broadcast. Enjoyed it. Love Adnan and Virk. Like John Forsling. It was good.
No, I'm not saying like there's like canned.
What did I say? Forsling? Forsling?
Yeah. There's canned like sports sound like you would find, you know, how that that fake laugh in the 70s and 80s on the sitcoms. the all fake laugh that ends simultaneously. Yeah. I'm not saying that
no,
was involved. But there's something going on, I think, in the last little while where you enhance the sound and you turn it up.
Enhanced
incredibly
microphones.
So to the point, if you're in one of the boxes, that you could hear like the sound on a speaker of the fans inside the building.
Really?
In a suite.
Oh, were you in a suite last night?
I was in the alumni box.
Oh, very nice.
So I think maybe that had something to do with the sound. Everybody says, well, why is Sportsnet's game so dull? And Prime last night was so electric, and the crowd was electric.
They hit the volume button?
Same Bay Street people cutting deals down there last night that they've been there the last few years, I assure you.
Also, an awful lot to cheer for last night. You know, of all the games over the past couple of years where you would say, that'd get an excited crowd going. I mean, what a game the Toronto Maple Leafs played last night. I mean, they just beat the pants off the Lightning. They beat them up and down, Kip.
I was very impressed from start to finish, and just the mentality of the mindset where you couldn't tell if they were up or down in the third period. They kept going.
Yeah.
They played hard. They battled for each other when they needed to. Max Domi gets into a fight that maybe a lot of other players would have passed in previous years with the Toronto Maple Leafs, where it's like, it's not my thing. I don't do that. It's not necessary. So no question, last night was a complete feel from start to finish.
You had Vasilevsky snowing, maybe just in jest, but he snows Morgan Riley in pregame, and then you see him getting the hook, which is something I don't think he got pulled all of last season or the year.
14 before. Times in his career.
14 times in his career. They stopped pulling him somewhere along that career, so was nice.
In that playoff game.
The same cast of characters.
In that playoff game, even when the Leafs were up like 7-2, or like they still left them in.
And they did not like to come
second
out.
Second, they have a back-to-back tomorrow night, so they probably wanted to save him for that. But, yeah.
Besides Jody Shelley, we got Steve Aliquette coming on. We're going to get into all of the goaltending scenarios, including Stolarz and what he thinks about his chances of holding on to this spot, chances of now what probably was deemed a 30, 35 game start. Can it get to 40? Can it get to 50 with this guy?
Yeah.
and also Vasilevsky. And now I for one think that like he pulled himself last night.
Yeah.
So
really,
I
think he did because he doesn't get pulled. I think he decides he's waved off Cooper before and Cooper goes okay.
I think there's just an understanding between Cooper and Vasilevsky, and whether it's a look or a nod or whatever. But I think Vasilevsky said, that's enough. I'm no good tonight. Take me out.
Three of the four were pretty bad.
Well, it took him out of the game.
Right?
Right. And I'm not saying that Tampa had any chance to win last night anyways.
Yeah.
But
the Patrick
Vasilevsky took them out of the game single-handedly last night.
You know, the Nylander one looks rougher than it is because Nylander makes a great, he leans glove, kind of gives him the look, and it goes through his legs, kind of rattles around five hole. But yeah, there's definitely some there.
The Matthews one where it hits him in the chest.
Can't find it.
And he drops it down at his feet. Like, I just thought he was particularly brutal.
Yeah. So. Not great, but you know, the one thing that stands out to me, I don't know if you saw my tweets today, Kip, but I was just tweeting about the Leafs and what they're giving up. And right now, some of their like expected goals against number, when the game is close, when they're within a goal or two, they're statistically, when they're within two goals, they're the best team in the league so far, expected goals against. And I don't think it's defense. I don't think it's like hard defending. I think it's breaking the puck out. Like, Tanev and OEL can go back on pucks and get it going that way really well.
Yes.
And it feels like they're just not spending as much time in their end.
No, they're not. And, you know, go back to beginning of training camp and the mentality of just straight lines.
Mm-hmm. You've been saying that.
They're way more predictable now. I think as a group that you feel like we're on the same page. We understand what the thought process is.
And unity. Chemistry. Great skill.
Less east, west. Mm-hmm. How many times 2 or 3 years ago we were like, oh, what's with that regroup? What the hell is that?
Right.
Yeah.
Like when was the last time you saw a regroup?
Well, that's a great point. There was a time like 3 years ago when Keefe kind of just came in where they would take it up to blue, not like, and bring it back like a soccer team.
Puck possession.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Berube's like, no.
Okay.
Straight lines.
We don't want to have it in the neutral zone. We don't want to fight for it in their end.
Dump it out.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking a lot about this, and because the Berube approval rating amongst Leaf Nation, amongst my friends right now, is through the roof.
Yes.
People are loving Craig Berube.
Yeah.
And I would like to put myself in that camp. I'm feeling rather passionate recently. I have to tell you, I am back.
Okay.
But here's my question about Craig Berube. Like, I think he's a good coach. Everybody thinks he's a good coach. But how much of this is just the effect of a new, like, if it had been Todd McClellan that they hired, or
yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
How much of this is just
yes.
somebody different? And when I think that, it's like, you know, did they kind of waste a couple years there sticking with Keefe when they maybe shouldn't have? And, like, it's not on Keefe, but, like, the new coach bounce. Like, I'm thinking about
Dubas.
That a lot. Yes.
And Dubas.
I'm thinking about a lot.
Yeah,
They should have let Sheldon go when they let Dubas go.
Yeah, that may be the case. There's a fine argument to be made there. I would say to your question, Sam, like, whoever it was this year, these guys needed a fresh start one way or the other. So I don't know, you're right, would Todd McClellan have coached this team and had this much success? I kind of feel like probably. Like, it just feels like a fresh start and a good couple of defensemen. The roster got better for me. I don't know, but you're right. Bruby's doing what he's supposed to do at this point.
I truly love the guy. And, like, I've been impressed with him, and I like I like his demeanor. I like what he represents. I'm just wondering how much of this.
Yeah.
And that's me thinking about the failures of this team in the first round and sort of the meme ability of this team, if some of that could have been prevented with an earlier trigger pull on some of the coaching, some of the front office stuff. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's revisionist history. We don't need to necessarily get into it, but it does leave me a little bit upset seeing how much better they look with a different coach. Anyways.
Maybe.
The one question
They look good in years past with Keith. They've had good records. But the way this looks.
Yeah. The one question
different.
I have, Sam, is like, they haven't had goaltending like this over the past 5 years. Stolarz is 8 goals above expected
through
5 games. He's been unbelievable for them. And I wonder if part of that is the predictability you talk about. Like, if it is easier to goaltend behind a team where you're like, I know this is just going up the wall.
Yeah.
I know where it's going to come from next, and there's some simplicity and consistency there that makes it easier to goaltend. So can you give the coach some credit because the goalie's been good?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it does lead to questions.
The answer is yes. All of that, what you said, for sure.
Yeah.
And predictability is the one word that I can say I've watched that comes to mind when it comes to what we've witnessed so far.
To me, that's like a slander. Like, if I'm an offensive player, I wouldn't want to be called predictable, right? And I think for these guys, being predictable, it'd be like, oh.
I think to each other and to the coach. I mean, the eye of the beholder can sit there and say they're just as entertaining as they would because they're winning or because they're getting key goals at the right time. I'm having as much fun watching them now without the people don't know, but I'm just saying within their group and what is needed to be consistent to move forward, that's the predictability you want out of a hockey club.
As a video coach, I always thought that, like, we would want the other team to not know what we're going to do. It's a playoff series. We don't know. We don't want them to know if we're going to be in a 1-2-2-4 check or whatever. And what I've learned over the years, that was my initial take when I went into video coaching. My initial take is that it doesn't matter if they know what you're doing, because if you do it well, they can't stop it. That's the idea, that you have good enough players to execute this predictable system. So, yeah, this is how we play. Go ahead and try.
We're coming at you. We're forechecking. We're winning a puck battle. We're getting in front of the net. We're shooting.
We're taking it to you, and you have to beat us.
I need to know if I'm going to be the first forechecker in. I need to know 1,000% that you're going to get the puck in deep for me.
Right. Like,
how many times have we seen them? How many times have we seen them go offside this year?
I wonder if they've been offside less.
Three.
I bet they have been.
In what already? Six games.
Kipper, that's such a great point that I would never have thought of. It's
the timing of it. It's the rhythm of their game. Their rhythm is so much better now in terms of getting in either on a forecheck or even being in position. The thing that stands out to me as much as anything watching the Leafs so far this season is their back pressure is back. Mm-hmm. Like there was a small window years ago where they had some really good back pressure.
Yep.
And it was lost. And again, we saw it from McMahon. McMahon takes a big hit last night, but it was his back pressure in the neutral zone that led to
the puck up to Willie.
That got the puck up to Willie.
And he scores.
And I'm seeing it out of all of them right now.
Just do your job.
There's not a whole heck of a lot wrong with their game right now, but it's all tied into a great present because Stolarz, when it's called upon, has made every save that he's needed to make since training camp started.
Yeah, he's made some big saves in closer games where they've been up a goal or two that allows him to hold the lead, and then from there they just sort of been running away with it.
You're right, though. It was since the very first preseason game that he's played that he's been
he hasn't had a bad start locked yet. In. Yeah. He's actually, the SportLogic does quality starts by have you been positive every game in goals above, saved above expected. He's the only guy in the NHL with 5-for-5 quality starts in the league.
So, I mean, the one thing, I mean, not to heap all the praise on Berube here, but one of the main things I notice the start of these games is how much more locked in the first 5 minutes of these games.
They used to lose a lot of first shifts.
And they were all over it. Like that first couple shifts with the big boys were absolutely like borderline breathtaking. How hard they were working, how fast they're skating, and it's been a thing in all the games. Think about the game against the Devils. They go up 3-0 in the first 6 minutes of that game, 7 minutes of that game. Their starts have been so much better.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Craig Berube on our first Kippers Clipper on what we all agree upon. Basically, is the biggest surprise so far this season. Anthony Stolarz.
Nothing different, to be honest with you. Like, I had him as a young kid in Philly, and, you know, he's been in the NHL for some time now. You know, obviously a quality goalie. He had a great year last year in Florida. If you look at his numbers, played 29, 30 games. You know, he's played excellent for us. That's what I know about him.
Here's what I know. He's good.
He's played excellent.
So he's going to turn 31. In a few months. Where you been?
Well, I mean, what's the catch?
Where you been? Like, what's happened?
Yeah.
Why didn't you turn yourself into a legit number one goalie by now?
I mean, part of it has been who he's been behind. He's been behind Bobrovsky. He's been behind some legitimate starters in places he's been. But
Edmonton, Anaheim,
John Gibson and Anaheim,
John Gibson,
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the other answer for that is I have a guy coming on the show later who's going to tell us. Steve Valiquette has the answer to this. This is something that we, I think you discussed from Sammy, that he's going to bring some juice
love,
on for us.
Love to hear.
You're right. I would love an answer on that.
I love watching you guys when I'm on.
You've also said that you believe goaltenders take a little bit more time, that a goalie's prime is a little later.
Yeah, I think
big people take longer to put it all together.
Could be.
Big people. Is that a slur? He's a big people.
Well, we're going to want to hear that for sure. Steve Valiquette, absolutely. You want to go to a workload?
Yeah,
because we do expect Stolarz to get a well-deserved night off tonight in Columbus.
Yeah.
Let's go to Craig Berube on what we can expect in terms of the workload.
You don't know what's going to happen with the goaltending here, but if he were in a position where he'd have to play, you know, a lot of games this year, do you have the confidence in him seeing what he's done?
I said the beginning of the year, both goalies are going to see more net than they have in the past. Yeah. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Man, tough cookie.
So what's the most...
It's got to be hard for a reporter when he's answering
none of
the
them
question.
Have ever seen 40 games, so...
Do you think he just explodes at 40?
What's the most Stolarz has seen?
28.
But a lot in... Not a lot.
So he's not... He's not,
had full seasons of AHL hockey.
No, forget that.
No, talking see, that's NHL. A dumb thing to say.
No, it's not a dumb thing to
they're
say.
They're not games. They're not... He's not trying his hardest in them.
No, he is, but it's minor leagues compared to NHL.
The most he played in any season ever was 47 in 2015-2016 with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
47.
NHL. Give me NHL. He's been in pro for over 10 years.
28.
Yep. Is it a stretch for Berube to say that both will see the most games that they've ever seen?
No.
Of course not.
Well, I mean, mathematically it has to. They're the two goalies. Neither's played 40.
Yeah.
So.
Right. But he can see 30 and that would be more.
Right.
But can he see now 40, 45, 50?
You know, we've had Mike McKenna on the show quite a bit, and I don't think McKenna ever missed a game in all of pro hockey. Stolarz, if I'm not mistaken, pretty healthy guy, too.
I think there's a little wear and tear there from what I hear.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't think he has a big history of missing games with injury, and I could be wrong on that. I'm not actually sure that
listen,
that's
he's
the case.
A big guy. He's been at it for a lot of years now.
Yeah.
How can there not be, like, we're talking about goaltending, hips, knees.
Yeah, he's played 113 NHL games.
Groins.
So the mileage is not, you know, Vasilevsky here.
But what you're alluding to here, Kipper, and what you're getting at is like you are anticipating some sort of fall off here at some point. It's got to come.
I mean, he's not the best goalie in the world.
I don't know about fall off.
Oh, sure.
I don't know about fall off, but we are talking about going into a new place or a new phase for him that he's never been before on a team that has to win now. I'm not saying it can't be done, and I'm not saying he can't take this to another level, but I'm talking about percentage-wise, the odds of him now going and having an all-world year, still early.
I mean, I mean, not to be whatever, but, like, it's a pretty, It's unlikely he's the world's best goalie, and he's been the world's best goalie.
Yeah.
Probably going to get worse.
Hard-hitting stuff there.
Yeah, you know, like, we'll see.
So where does Joseph Woll?
Do you think he's going to play tonight?
I would not put him in. I wouldn't.
No, but, you heard anything? Any insight?
I expect Hill to be.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I've come to not expect Woll ever, so...
I don't
expect
true.
Him to be available.
Oh gosh, there's a ton of pressure on them. They signed him to $11 million
for three years.
Mm-hmm. Like there is a ton of pressure to get him going too.
I mean, it was groin tightness. He didn't rip his groin, right? We're a couple weeks into a tight groin now.
Mm. Well,
and I don't know about you guys, but like, is he losing the net here without ever?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, if I was handling the goaltenders and I had a choice and they were all available, Hildeby goes tonight, Woll on Thursday against the St. Louis Blues at home. and then Stolarz has earned the start against the Boston Bruins on Saturday night in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, Wolf's a St. Louis guy too, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that sounds correct. Yeah. So that's, but I'm not sure if he'll be available. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, like Borny said, it's tough to lean on him ever being around. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Listen, they're in the toughest division in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Take the points while you can get them with a hot guy.
You're not wrong. Run it. I'm that way with music, by the way. If I like a song, I'll just play it till I hate it. Just run the whole horse out there till he's
play done. It till you hate it, eh?
Just love it while you can. Yeah.
All right, where do we go? You want your thoughts on Willie?
Sure. I mean, it's just going to be some praise, right? I presume. Yeah. What's happening? Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Play the Willie clip, Derek. Clip 3.
Same as last game where you have 8 shots last game. I didn't look at the shot sheet yet for what he had tonight, but he had a ton of opportunities again. You know, skating really well, strong on pucks, getting to open ice, and you know, he's looking to shoot.
When he's going, right?
Him and Domi are a nice little pair. Like, because yep. Domi passes the puck all the time and Willie wants to shoot it all the time.
Yeah.
It's kind of the Marner Matthews of line 2 at this point. I mean, you don't see Willie hit a lot of one-timer goals, and he must have taken 4 one-timers yesterday.
Mm-hmm. He was sniffing that hat trick.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. He was hammering everything.
He had a couple of good looks, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed he passed it to Robertson on a 2-on-1 when he had a chance for a hat trick. And exploded.
But Max has had a really nice start to his season.
Max Patrick. Yeah. Oh, Domi.
No, Domi.
Domi. Yeah,
Max.
Yeah. 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 He has. He has 7 or 8 assists now or something. I don't know what it is exactly, but.
Yeah. I mean, the worst knock on him is times shoot the puck, but. Mm-hmm. When you got Willie out there and Willie's open,
yeah,
that's the tendency right now for him.
Yeah, he's helping get the best out of Willie, and he is providing that bit of physicality that sometimes, like, I don't know if I love all the penalties, but it's like, they need someone.
A little emotion, though.
He's good for them, for sure.
And he drives the temperature up.
Really good.
That line is really good in transition.
Yeah.
Like, they pick a puck at the top of the zone, and it's odd man rush the other way. They are really, really dangerous. McMahon's flying, Domi's flying, Nylander's flying. Dangerous
they are.
Line.
McMahon is, like, second in the league in plus minus. You know, those guys is controlling the play heavily when they're on the
Yeah, their top two lines are amongst the best in the league right now. So they've been really good. Alvarek and Larson fine? You guys want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can do that.
What's that?
Well, you saw that Oliver Ekman-Larsson got fined for his hit.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
When I saw it live, I thought it was a headshot.
Yeah.
Mm. And then when you saw it not live?
Yeah, just a sneaky, dirty interference play.
Yeah. Huh. I agree with that.
What, you thought it shouldn't have been even a penalty?
I will concede that it was a penalty.
Yeah.
But I do think it's rather absurd that he got fined for that, considering the stuff we see slide in the NHL. The bang bang, like you're eligible to hit.
Well, yeah, I know, but you got to also factor in
like
a late, unsuspecting hit.
Well, they're both had their sticks like basically on the puck.
No.
Yes. No, he's got his stick on the puck.
I didn't see a 50-50, bud.
Okay, so
to me, Jake, if Gensel hockey, hits OEL so there into the board,
it's the National Hockey League, and both you guys are sitting here telling me, looking at me, saying a man at the center ice boards where. I have seen 15,000 devastating body checks over my hockey-watching career. Yeah. A man is just skating head down with his stick out like this near the puck. You know, let him go.
No.
Like, let one of the, like...
No, he chips
not a
it.
It's not a fine. It's a penalty, sure. But it's a fine is just searching for something to ding the Leafs for.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think, to me, it's not just a typical hit. It was taking advantage of a situation where I could get a really good shot in on a
guy. Those two had gone back and forth at it all game.
And they're battling. And listen, I don't mind it from Oliver
Ekman. I think it's good. It's good. You want to see it.
It's like, good. You know what?
Liked it.
How many times have Leaf fans seen their team on the opposite side of that? Now you got a guy that's got a little sneaky dirtiness in him.
And
yeah,
every time
bring it on.
And every time the Leafs try to do something sneaky dirty, they get suspended or fined, and everybody else gets away with it.
I think that's a fine case to make.
And
the Leafs can't get away with as much because the spotlight's a little brighter. That's a fine case to make.
Well, that's the case I'm making. Like, it's a bang-bang play.
But that one, though, Sam, to me...
Okay, you're like now...
Well, he's
now you're like
league
conspiracies versus my team.
No. There are a million stupid Leafs conspiracies. But the one that George Parros favors against the Leafs is not, that's just a fact. Like, it is. I'm sorry. You guys don't have to say it. I will.
No, but
it's a fact.
I think
he hates the Leafs.
You're paying attention to the Leafs.
No, he doesn't. He does. He hates the Leafs.
Does not hate.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't care.
Yes, he cares. He cares. He hates the Leafs.
Why would he hate the Leafs?
I don't know.
Give me a reason why he would hate the Leafs.
Everybody hates the Leafs, Kipper. Everybody hates them. Everyone who's not a Leaf fan hates them.
But they don't work.
What do you mean?
In New York City for the league, everybody.
No, but he is the one who makes the choice. He talks about it. There's no way he didn't know.
So he's as jealous as every other fan who hates the Leafs.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
That your team.
The point people make is he played for Montreal. That's the point.
Yeah.
People
oh,
make
my
about
God.
It. I know.
I don't even remember that.
I know.
I'm telling you.
Sam, you're ridiculous.
I'm telling you. If Victor Hedman does that, not a penalty, they don't even look at it.
See, I think it's just because you pay such close attention to the Leafs. If you're covering the Wild,
they've had the
and
most
Jared
suspensions.
Spurgeon got to fine.
They're like the softest team in the league for 5 years, and they've had the most suspensions. The most, like, it's like there is something there, boys.
Right.
And if you both are looking at me and saying there's not, then you're just lying to yourselves.
How far are you going back here? Are you going back to Spezza in Winnipeg?
Yes,
are you going to?
Of course, I'm going to that. I'm going to Matthews with a grazing cross check off a guy's shoulder.
Where at the outdoor game?
Who's never looked at somebody funny? First thing, gone two games. Like, there's a history.
You're speaking
here.
of this is like those are the only suspensions or
well, that's it.
Situations.
But the Leafs have led the league in suspensions.
But you're not watching the rest of the league. You don't pay attention to the rest of the league. You just watch your Leafs.
Everyone makes fun of the Leafs for being the softest team in the league, and they lead the league
not
over
this year.
In suspension.
Well, not this year.
Well, I guess
no one's saying that this year.
Well, no, you're right. But it's the first chance they had to throw any sort of.
And you blame that on George Parros
and not
Kyle Dubas.
No, I do. I do. I do blame that on Parros. Yeah. So. Glad we got that out of the way. I do. I really do blame him. I do blame him.
Yeah. I had this, the argument on Twitter too, and people showing other hit. I think there's a lot
of Pasternak
like,
did the exact
people,
same thing.
Well, it's
and
not exactly
happened.
The same. He's physically touching the puck for a reverse hit.
It was the same amount of touch. There was no, they're like, their sticks are right there.
See, maybe don't see it.
No.
You need to watch those. Just one guy is touching the puck.
The very, very popular show, The Office, they're the same picture.
You don't watch the game very well.
But that's actually a fair point that, like, maybe, I honestly feel like you need to watch those two and be like, tell me that guy's touching it and he isn't. There's some fan bias there, buddy.
For sure. But the puck is right there, and I am a fan, and the Leafs, who are the softest team, have the most suspensions, the most fines.
All right, we still have a ton to get into.
Sorry we spent 5 minutes yelling about that, but it's driving me crazy.
Jody Shelley's going to join us. You want a quick thought on Nick Robertson, Pacioretty, or...
Pacioretty's probably worth the chat. Is that... Comes in, throws a couple hits, shoots one in the net.
Yeah.
I thought every time he scored so far for the Leafs, it's been like, I can't believe that went in.
It's
you know?
Twice.
He's mastered the 50-foot...
Yeah.
Wrist shot.
And it does change how you perceive his game when you score, right? That's
yes and no.
No.
Nothing's changed. Even if he didn't score that game, you saw him take a couple hits, make hard on forechecks. This is who he's going to be. Mm-hmm. If they decide to keep him for the whole season, this is what you can expect.
Yeah.
In the lineup, out of the lineup, come in, maybe fill in. In a top six, maybe drop down 10, 12 minutes, maybe more if there's some injuries.
If he's content to do that, yeah.
Well, listen, he would never have come if he wasn't content to know that no one else is offering me a contract. This is it, or I potentially could shut it down.
Right.
If you're Berube, you see his first shift at the game last night, where I don't know who it was he got, but he went in. Hard and
guy.
Just hammered somebody on the forecheck. And he's like, Brube's like, okay, this guy's trying to make an impact in the bottom half of the lineup. He shoots one in the net. Like, I thought he was fine last
Listen,
night. Him and Lars are both big bodies.
Yeah.
Robertson.
I looked at the guy beside me at the last night watching Pacioretty go hard. And I'm like, this guy would have been a Hall of Famer if he played like this in Montreal.
Yeah. Right. You get that element of it. It
like, if he had that in his game plus. The 30-40 goal kind of guy that he was.
Yeah.
Like, that's the ultimate.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Rantanen.
He wasn't terrible in his first few games with the Leafs. Was good for them last night. Really tough to pull him out of the lineup here. Ryan Reeves.
No, it's really easy. It's easy. Yeah, you just keep everybody fresh and on their toes. And it's being pissed off is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as it's not disruptive to the team, but it keeps everybody on their toes. And know that you're one bad game away from that guy coming back in the lineup because you knew he was good the night before.
Right.
That's called real depth. So that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yeah, it's motivating for everyone involved. Did get some offside stats for us. Last year, I think they had the fourth most offsides. This year, they're 24th in offsides per game. So
definitely a different feel.
Yes.
Huh. That's something I would never,
thank you, Sport Logic,
ever have thought of. But it's true.
Yeah. But yeah, so Pacioretty, in terms of concerns, we've been super positive about the Leafs, I think, about pretty much everyone. Only concern right now for me, Benoit has not been great. You know, aside from dragging one into the net past Stolarz on the breakaway.
Listen.
Hit his head on the post.
Really like Timmins, though. Really like Timmins.
Just stay on your feet.
On that play.
Yes. No reason to leave your feet when you're that far out of position. That's the time you go, I really have a good goalie back there, and I'll just let him do his thing.
You know what I like, though? He came out of the net and Stolarz gave him a tap. I was like,
yeah, and he said after the game, you know what happens.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't upset about it or whatever.
Nice play. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah. Is that from something? Because if not, it's a great point.
It's a movie, Major League, the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
But there's an F-bomb somewhere in there. I'll let you figure out where to put it.
So where are we at with Robertson?
You're really hard on him for not scoring.
Yeah.
And I understand that his job is to...
Well, he's not in there for his defense or physicality.
But he's skating so much better.
Oh, great.
He's skating better.
He's holding pucks.
He's trying his best for a little guy.
Okay. What? Well, okay.
What?
It's the sometimes, National League, Kippy.
Listen, the team's going well.
Okay.
You can keep... maybe you got to sit him out one game.
Not against
and bring
Columbus.
Him back.
Not against
tonight,
Columbus.
No, not tonight.
Tonight Robertson. I bet
guarantee
him to score.
Actually, whatever I'm bet, it's we'll fine. Get that in game time.
But
that's a lot.
I don't have that big of an issue with the way he's played so far.
You talk about back pressure. A couple times last night, he's nipping at guys' heels. He's lifting sticks.
Yes.
I'm not sure how he's playing.
I'm not sure when push comes to shove and you need to go up against a big team like Florida, maybe in the first or second round, that he'll be there. Mm-hmm. But he's not holding you back. He's not hurting you now. He's had a couple of decent looks.
And honestly,
pucks jumped over a stick. He's missed the net, whatever the case is.
If suddenly Nylander went down or something, I don't hate the idea of saying, okay, you're going to play on the flank on the power play or something. Like, he's not the worst option to have around.
And you keep his value up.
Over under 31 trips to the dressing room mid-game for Chris Tanev this season.
But it's a given now, eh? We're just going to see him, like, limp.
He tied the Leafs' record for block shots in a game last game, I think. It was.
It is but a scratch. Listen,
it truly is.
Last night on Leafs Talk, I said that he's, like, the Monty Python thing.
Yeah.
It's a flesh wound.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he is. Like, he just walking around with no arm.
I know they're in Columbus and he's not listening, but if he was listening, hey, Chris, you don't have to block everything.
You're up four. Maybe let the big goalie get hit.
It's October, pal. Okay? And you're not 24.
Guys doesn't care.
Fans love a player who doesn't have an off switch, who can't halfway do it.
Until he gets hurt. And people
he's already been
say,
hurt like three times.
No, until he's out.
Okay, yep.
Until he's out, and then everybody's like, well, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Right.
Then you go from a hero to a dummy.
He's missing
like that.
15 games
if
this season.
If you
book it.
If you're out of the lineup.
The hand will be broken.
Yes.
I don't know when it's going to happen. Just hope it happens midseason.
Early. You'd like it to happen in like January or February.
Yeah. But you made the point too, like it's a different feel back there with Tanev. He can skate a puck out.
Yeah.
He can make a first pass.
A great slip to the middle last game.
He doesn't panic back there.
It's going back on the pucks that jumps out to me after watching TJ Brody for
so
3 years.
Just hold guys off and make a little poke with it.
The play where him and Matthews, I don't know who it was that they tag team along the sideboards, picked the pocket and made a pass to the middle of the ice. I'm like, oh my God.
I know.
That's allowed?
We may be thinking of the same one.
That's allowed?
Jeez, that was well executed.
Yeah.
Okay. Watch.
Yeah. Take a quick break.
Yep.
And we'll return. Jody Shelley, broadcaster for Fox Sports. He called the game last night for Prime. We'll get his thoughts on the Leafs and what we can expect tonight in Columbus. Also on the National Hour, we'll welcome in Steve Valiquette, analyst for the New York Rangers, MSG, and one of the top guys when it comes to knowing the goaltenders around. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, from one of the quietest nights in the National Hockey League last night, just one game, we go to a very busy one. The busiest.
The most busy possible.
Yeah. In fact, what I'm told is they're going to start a game like in every 3 minutes, another game starts.
Just
starting right now. Jody, awesome. Get to work. We're dropping a puck. Let's welcome him in, Jody Shelley. How are you, pal? You tired or what?
No, not bad. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. Tell us about your night last night as the only broadcaster of a National Hockey League game, Toronto and Tampa Bay, on Prime.
Yeah. You know, it was fun. I mean, I thought it'd be a better game. I think we all did, as Tampa and Toronto looked like they were pretty evenly matched. But, you know, it just seemed like Tampa was out of sync. You know, you see passes from Kucherov to Point or Hedman to Kucherov, you know, you're looking for that highlight play. It just wasn't there. And it was, I really thought Toronto played an excellent game, you know, from the goaltending out. And I think that I don't know if Tampa wasn't ready for that, but they just seemed like they thought it was going to go a little differently. And the way Toronto came out in waves, the way that there was no whistles to start that game for the first 4 minutes, I think that's, talking to Chief yesterday, he was talking about how Nylander wants to get out there early in the game. Like, he wants him to get him going. And, you know, to have a guy like Willie going early in the game and getting multiple shifts in a row and getting the rhythm of the bench, I think that really helped the Leafs. And I think, you know, for Coop, it was that part of it overwhelmed them.
Mm-hmm. Do you notice anything different with the Leafs in general this year? Obviously, a new goaltender has been pretty good for them, but, you know, Tanev and OEL on the back end, some new additions up front. Any thoughts on if they're any different than previous years?
I feel like they're completely different.
Yeah.
I really do. I feel like, you know, I think it starts with the attitude of the coach. And I always watch the Leafs from afar. I live in Columbus, and it's, you know, I'm a hockey fan, but I love watching the big markets like Toronto. Just to kind of see how the pressure's handled by the leaders, by the coaches and stuff. And I know a bunch of players that have played there, and it just seems like it's different this year, starting with that. You know, with the locker room. And I know Chief personally, so you guys do too. And I give him a lot of credit because he makes you feel comfortable as a person first. And I think as a player, he can make you feel comfortable and uncomfortable in a really good way. And I think that you know, as far as the media, I know it's still early. I know it's going to get hot. I know there's going to be struggles. But just how he carries himself and has like a no-nonsense attitude and doesn't worry about too much throughout his day or doesn't appear to, and he's got good people around him, I think that's where it starts for them. It kind of takes the focus or maybe the pressure or what's being talked about all the time outside that locker room away from it, because he's really, you know, simplified the way they think about themselves. And then the way they play, like he's demanding. He's already figured out that, you know, there's things that are in some of these guys' game. He calls it cuteness. That's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's just how he is. And it's everyone throughout the lineup. And when he talks about the players, he didn't know them. He knew them from afar. He's really impressed with the work ethic and the drive of the top end guys. And the guys that came in like OEL, the way they play the system, he looks like he's refreshed, rejuvenized, and it's a simple way to play, and I think that's good for him.
Jody, they're in the toughest division in hockey in the Atlantic. You either beat them or you join them, and it just seems like now the style of play seems more conducive to success in April and May than it ever has before. And just your thoughts. I know you mentioned Tampa Bay briefly, but even the thoughts of Florida maybe getting back to a Stanley Cup final with the loss of two pretty key defensemen, Montour being the other one lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's going to get really tight, right? Boston, Florida, Toronto, though, is in a different... To me, it's not just a conversation anymore. I think it's real. I think that they're going to have to worry about Toronto. I think that that's how the conversation has shifted. Florida, I think they, you know, Barkov being out and a couple injuries early, you got to feel like they're still the heavies in that conference, that division. And then for me, Boston is one of those teams that, you know, they're deep. They made the moves. They understand kind of the pieces that they have. And they have a group that understands how to play in April, May, and June. So I think they have a lot to prove. But I think for Toronto, you know, everyone talks about the first round matchup. It's going to be tough. I think you guys were talking about it yesterday. Maybe Sam was talking about it. But it was like, yeah, that's how it's going to be. I mean, it's not like you're going to go to the playoffs and be like, oh, we earned an easy first round. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's what it takes. And you look at the teams that go through it, and Kipper, you did it. It's luck, it's health, it's bounces, but it's also like a certain way to play where you understand every guy going over the boards is carrying their weight for that shift. And I think that's the process the Chief is going through here with the Toronto Maple Leafs to say, and you look at Paul Maurice, you got to give him a tremendous amount of credit. I think we do. Because he identified his group. He really handed that room off to the group early with his expectations. And when you get to that point early with a team where they drive it with their veterans and their leadership and expectations and setting the bar, then you have something to walk into playoffs with. And I think the really good teams use all 82 games to figure out what they need, where they fit in. And I think all three of those teams at the top have that.
So, Jody, tonight the Leafs take on in a back-to-back the Columbus Blue Jackets, team you spend a lot of time covering. They picked up a couple of wins against, you know, some pretty decent opponents, beating Colorado and then beating Buffalo about a week ago. Where is Columbus at this year? A pretty young team, but seems like some guys have taken a step. I know Kent Johnson, I think, is not hurt, but he's a guy who's been playing some good minutes. Tell us about the Blue Jackets this year.
Yeah, you know, it's... They got injuries. Yeah. Kent Johnson came into camp. They sent him down last year to get stronger and play more straight ahead because he had a lot of rock in his game, a lot of wobble, I call it, where he gets the puck and scans the zone, and next thing you know, he's smothered by players. But he's hurt. He's out. He had shoulder surgery last year, and he fell in a collision with another teammate in a game, and he's out. Branson's out with a shoulder. Boone Jenner, the captain, one of the best leaders, if not the best leader in the game right now, got hurt in practice after a great summer. You know, that was in between training camp and game number one. So that's a huge hole. Their young guys have taken a step, but now their depth is really getting tested early. So it's like, you know, you're slotting in guys in different areas. You're asking guys to take off more than they can chew. Tonight, the top line is Marchenko, Monahan. And they're putting Sillinger on the wing. He's been a centerman. They're going to move. Fantilli is going to be that second-line center. And he's going to have Chinnikov, who's a shooter. That top line, Chinnikov was up there, but he's going to be a shooter on the second line. They want him to go. Like, he's a guy that can drive the game.
Yeah.
But right now, he's kind of stuck in limbo. So he's one of those guys that we look to, and hopefully he has a game tonight. But down the middle of the ice, they're not bad. Their back end's okay, but just looking at the depth and asking guys like Juracek, a top-round pick a couple of years ago, who's had struggles to step in against the Leafs tonight, I think they're going to have to try to kind of cover him up a little bit.
Tony, you mentioned the injuries and, of course, the horrific, devastating, you know, accident or, you know, death of the Gaudreau brothers. What is a realistic expectation for this hockey club moving forward? Can they overcome a little bit of this to create a competitive environment, or is it just too much to expect anything this season out of Columbus?
I don't think it's too much to expect. I think with Dean Evason, his attitude, his approach to every day, the way he looks at his team and, you know, has put up boundaries and expectations early. The tragedy that happened with the Goodrow family, we had a night here for opening night. I'm sure you guys saw it, where it was all about Johnny and his family, and the family was in. And, you know, Monahan's his best friend. He didn't know if he'd be able to get through the whole ceremony. He didn't know if he could play. There's a lot of emotion, a lot of grieving, a lot of grieving together and pulling for each other. And Johnny, the way he went to the rink, the way he carried himself with joy at the rink. And you know, there's a lot of moments, I guess, in the locker room where they would say, well, what would Johnny do? Or Johnny would love this. And they're doing that together. And I think there's something there that's helping this group grieve together and come together. If that sounds something that's possible, you can see it a little bit with this team. But I think that Evason and his drive and his expectations, where they had an off night the other night against the Minnesota Wild, he admitted they were tired after an emotional week with the ceremony and everything that was going on and kind of the schedule. He wants his horses to go. And the number one horse he has is Zach Werenski, who has thought he's been a leader, hasn't really been. And with Boone out and Gabranson out, now he's got to say things to put pressure on. And when you say things in the, you know, publicly to the media, it comes right back at yourself. You know what I mean? If I'm going to say, we have to be better with the puck, our passes have to be better, well, I better be number one at that at practice the next day and the rest of the week, you know. And I think Zach is now putting himself out there in that position to say, you know, we got to win our one-on-one battles. We have to have better pace, and our passing's got to be on. Watch him tonight. He's had a really good start to this year. He's explosive, and he wants to be a leader. And I think it starts with him on this team as far as they go.
Well, have a great call tonight. We sure appreciate you making the effort on a quick turnaround, working last night in Toronto.
Yeah, welcome, thanks, buddy. I tried to get on that lease charter to come here today, but just no room, I guess. I even said the stick bed.
They wouldn't bring you on?
No, I couldn't fit.
God, that's tough.
All right.
Well, thanks, Jody. Thanks, Jody. We appreciate your time, man.
Okay, man.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
See you guys.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
Yeah,
he's great. Enjoy him.
Dean Evason's scary.
He is.
Scary face, scary guy. You know, he scares me. Whenever I see him on the coach, on the bench, he's just staring daggers at people. That's not a guy I want mad at.
Boy, it was tough looking at him, though, during the Gaudreau ceremony, tearing up on the bench.
Yeah.
And good friend of mine is an assistant coach there. And it sounds like it's just been – it's hard for any team to go through what Columbus has gone through.
For sure.
Let alone a team that probably wasn't great anyway. To have this now, it's somebody's,
you know, and I don't know if it's Dean or, you know, anyone else in the organization, but somebody's got to go in there and say, boys, like, as cold as this sounds, like, move on. We got a business
here. For hockey purposes,
expectations of someone that buys tickets to come and support you. You got to get focused. We got lots at stake here. Mm-hmm. Including, you know, your safety out there. You got to be focused and right there in that present moment.
Well, I think that's the hard part is still respect and honor and care, obviously, about something that is, you know, so deeply meaningful and emotional. But that isn't the job, you know, like you can't just then not do the job. So how do you, okay.
It's an impossible situation.
Yeah, like you can care about that, but you still got to play hockey here for 82 games.
Can't keep you from trying to get to that point.
They've had a couple good wins to start the season, so maybe they'll surprise you. What a story it would be if they, you know, were good. Like, you know,
they're hurt beyond that. Like this roster tonight, guys, second line right wing is Michael Pythia.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, like, well, I don't know. No disrespect to Michael Pythia, but
your stats night. For the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I mean, it's a back-to-back, and it's on the road. But, boy, they need to handle business here tonight. They need a power play to shoot a couple in and just...
Columbus?
No. The Leafs need their power play to shoot a couple in and just...
Columbus just has to keep this
get
close.
To the finish line.
Just close. All right. Pretty good segment. We got stats involved. We had a Lou Brown quote.
I mean, crying about a player's safety.
All right.
Okay.
We got Steve Alakette, top of the hour.